If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the world might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, when I shall send unto you from the whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Thus ends the scripture reading. You may be seated. Did you notice verse 23 in the scripture reading? He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Who hates Jesus Christ? Who hates him? If you hate Jesus Christ, you cannot say, I can't love the Father. Is that not the perpetual lie of what we know today as the Jew? Wow. I'm very excited to hear this message. It's called The Truth About Lies. Very clever title. Bring it to us.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I swear that Pastor Elmore hired a bug on the wall to look at my sermon notes. There's an uncanny witness to some of the things he made in his opening commentary to what you're going to hear here today. So I'll get right to it. The title of the sermon is The Truth About Lies. The Christian identity message is basically founded on one premise or truth that can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. That the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of the Bible. But this wonderful truth is eclipsed by a terrible untruth, that the Jews are Israel. After all, that's the name of their country. And the Bible talks about Jews, right? It's quite an accomplishment to get most of an entire race of people to think they are something they are not. But that's exactly what has happened to white people. Somehow the Jews have managed to get our people to think of themselves as Gentiles, which is erroneously defined as non-Jews. In other words, a non-Jew cannot be an Israelite. And that presumes that the word Jew includes all 12 tribes, even though the initial claim was to only one tribe, that of Judah, and hence the slang word Jew coming from the first syllable. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or if you think it's a matter of religion, because the word Gentile has been secularized into the English language. I guess it helps if you buy out companies that publish dictionaries and you can change the definition of words. What I want to focus on today is not the vast wasteland of dogmas and divisive doctrines that evolve into denominations because some religious leader thinks it's the truth. There are some 35,000 denominations that think they're right. But by sheer logic, we can deduce that they can't all be right. There would just be way too many contradictions. What I want to focus on today is whether or not the truth matters. And specifically, if the truth about lies can affect our lives. Or consider the truth about the lies of the economy and how that affects your pocketbook. Does it really matter if you lost your job or if you lost your home? Do you think it's possible that people who hate Christianity with so much passion would masquerade as Christian and Hebrew scholars and plant the seeds of false doctrines to the point of making the believer weary and dizzy over the glut of interpretations and controversies? With doctors of theology and professors like that, who needs enemies? Can we count on the Word of God for what it says about the truth itself? I'm not talking about the truth of any given topic or teaching, but just the simple principle or concept of something, anything, to be true. Well, let's see what Scripture has to say about the truth all by itself, without any doctrinal interference. Quote, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." John 16:13. After the resurrection and ascension of Christ into heaven, his physical presence was replaced with the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit, the pure motivations of God. The Spirit not only reveals, but will guide and lead us to the truth that will never contradict the Father or the Son. Jesus said, "I am the truth, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So now we can deduce that the truth leads us into all truth. And that then would include the truth about lies. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The truth about lies regarding the world is another contributing factor that disenfranchises white Christians from their earthly duties. When Jesus said, "I am not of this world," he didn't mean for you to become a rapturist. It's not the so-called truths offered by secular wisdom, but rather a direct communication from God himself that we can fully understand and appreciate. Sir Isaac Newton, as the story goes, saw an apple fall to the ground and discovered gravity, which is just science. unless we realize the truth that gravity isn't just a good idea, it's God's law. The law of gravity became Isaac Newton's best known and most important discovery. He warned against using it to view the universe as only some kind of machine like a great clock. He said, quote, "Gravity explains the motions of the planets, but it cannot explain who set the planets in motion. God governs all things and knows all that is or can be done," end quote. I think Newton made great scientific discoveries because he believed the truth of God, the Creator, and consequently God blessed this man with an abundance of truths. Some say he's one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. Do you think scientists today pay homage to the source of truth and that it's critical to our very lives? Not likely, being that big corporations today own the patents to scientific discoveries made by their employees. However, I'm enthused by the prospects of kingdom living sometime in the future where all kinds of advancements are surely awaiting us. It was necessary for God to deal with our spiritual blindness, our hardness of heart, our being lost sheep, in order for our race to see the blessings of redemption, because we can't see them with our five senses. No one can see the gifts who are not enlightened by the Spirit of truth. How can we know the forgiveness of sins if we have not been led to the new covenant? Unfortunately, there are some of our Israelite brethren who don't think they need to be forgiven for anything because they've accepted the lie that man is basically good, and therefore the idea of being redeemed doesn't matter. Especially if it's a racial kinsman who does the redeeming. Or it might be the Judeo-Christian who thinks once saved, always saved, meaning they can do whatever they want. Knowledge of the new covenant is like having air for a flat tire. It is entirely possible for all white people to know the truth, and that it's really in their best interest. Surely that should count for something. It should register in the mind as something of value. But the natural man, the person without God's Spirit, who functions solely on their five senses, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. It's just nonsense to his five senses. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Motive goes to the heart of knowing the truth. We get the motivation from God. Man remains an animal in nature when he rejects the divine revelation and thus uninfluenced by the Spirit of God, i.e. the truth. The truth is despised rather than perceived as something beautiful. The carnal man remains in darkness and cannot access the truths of Christianity. And darkness is often equated to ignorance, ignoring something, whether indirectly or self-imposed, and willfully falling away from God. The liar, cannot conceive of the value of truth. The truth is worthless and doesn't matter. This doesn't mean the natural man can't be brought to embrace the purity of God's truth and abandon falsehoods. The drunkard can become sober. The amoral can become moral. And the doubter can become faithful. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This has tremendous power to release us from the things that tell us the truth doesn't matter. We can talk all day long about governmental waste and the erosion of our property rights, and people will be nodding like a bobblehead in full agreement. But speak of the bondage of sin and a captivity to a mystery, Babylon, and you'll get a deer in the headlights look. That Statue of Liberty is in opposition to the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Most people could care less. But there's something about it that really bothers me. We've gotten nothing from that humongous goddess standing on the water in New York Harbor except an entanglement with the yoke of bondage from strangers and their strange gods that bring alien wisdom and philosophies that make our God's truth of none effect. Who sold us the lie that it's okay for non-whites and non-Christians to live among us, knowing that it's a prohibition of God's law? Quote, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their small g gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." They shall not dwell in your land. Period. You would think that out of 35,000 denominations, there would be at least one voice crying in the wilderness. But they would be vilified as intolerant racist rather than honored for preaching the truth about lies. You know, it's not the most envious position to be in for objecting to popular opinion or standing up to the most respected religious leaders of the day, like Billy Graham and Benny Hinn and a whole bunch of them that comprise hundreds of millions of our people. We've got the Kol Nidre being practiced on our soil, which is a Jewish ritual to sanction the nullification of vows, to lie with impunity, to expunge the truth from our way of life. No one seems to mind that lying is a way of life for a certain ethnic group. Does it matter if a giant idol is glorified in our nation? Does it matter if that torch in her hand is in competition with the light of the world? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I know it's hard for some people to grasp the incarnation of God. God became Jesus, and Jesus Christ showed us the way to change from a carnal nature to a divine nature, to what Adam was before the fall. No man has ever been born into the world and only continually spoke the truth and lived a life without sin, save but for one man. That is Jesus. Think about how great that is, for lack of a better word. And then think about those who don't think the truth matters. It boggles the mind with awesome wonder. Think about how great our society could be if the truth did matter. We shall become a great nation. No one can understand God or be inclined to investigate his truths or love them when revealed under the influence of their five senses or unbridled emotions. But the Christian is influenced by God. We're not all alone. Left to our own devices and vivid imaginations, we have his Spirit. The truth is, we have the mind of Christ, who had the mind of God. That's not me saying that. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. The truth is, we experience his sanctifying power in our hearts and bring forth good fruits to the glory of God. Do the good fruits of the Holy Spirit matter? How many people today could care less about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness? You think the truth matters when Jesus will say to those who tell him they've done many wonderful things in his name, that he never knew them? Evidently, the truth escaped these people, and they were far from doing the will of God. What is the truth about lies? It's that the truth doesn't matter. An enemy hath done this, that sowed good seed with tares, that mixed the holy with the profane, and spiritual with carnality, that makes the truth of none effect. The field, the world is contaminated with a corruption of the truth, and it's under the illusion that it can bring forth good fruit. They say the best lie is the one that has 99% of the truth. Why? Because it's less likely to be detected and to be objected to. Aren't we warned about the adversaries of God transforming themselves into angels of light, ministers of righteousness? Can a Negro in the White House do anything good? No! A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Is anybody thinking about cutting down this tree and casting it into the fire, as we're commanded? No, because the truth doesn't matter to them. Just a little lipstick and perfume on a pig to pass the clean test, and voila, ham dinner at the church social. These are the people who cause divisions. Animals, bipeds with five senses, not having the Spirit. It was a rather easy prediction that there would be mockers and scoffers denying the truth because they lived according to their own lust, which would short-circuit anything the ambassadors of Christ had to say. Look at the utter mess that churchianity has foisted upon our race. It looks like the days of Noah and Lot out there. Amen. They have flushed the truth down the toilet. Their seminaries and Bible colleges have become bastions of lies. God loves us, but he doesn't love everybody. God doesn't love the love generation that has brought us hate crime legislation for hating what God hates. God hates Esau, Edom. To say that God loves everybody, including creatures that are not kind after kind, is stretching the truth. Jeremiah 9:3 puts it like this, "And they bend their tongue like their bow for lies," like a bow and arrow. "But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." What happens in a carnal world is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, because they have no authority without God's truth. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And the Old Testament confirms how great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is infinite. God's law has authority over man as long as he lives. This authority can't be twisted or distorted to circumvent the truth, lest judgment becomes unjust. Try and tell that black-robed Masonic judge in today's courtroom about justice, and he'll tell you the same thing Ernst Zundel heard in his Holocaust trial. That, quote, this is a verbatim quote from the judge, "The truth, in some absolute sense, really plays no role." The truth plays no role in his courtroom. The truth doesn't matter to these animals with five senses without the Spirit of God. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Why is that? Because he didn't write the law. God did. If somebody hates you because you tell the absolute, unadulterated truth of God's word, it's the Holy Spirit and the truth that they've declared war on. If the world hates you, you should know that it hated me before it hated you. They hated me without a cause. What did Jesus ever do to them? He told them the truth. And the truth convicted them of their sins. Sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, those laws don't matter anymore. They were nailed to the cross. I get emails all the time from these self-righteous Judeo-Christians chastising me for being so full of hate. That's the standard phrase, so full of hate. And they fail to notice their own hatred of the truth. I make every effort to teach them the truth as to how they've been lied to. Most of the time, it doesn't matter. But what does matter is that I've planted the seed from the Word of God. Most of these people have been so conditioned by their Baal priest to be empty of hate or opposition to error, that it is virtually impossible for them to oppose being lied to. The only thing they oppose is being told the truth. And thus we have a situation where they call good evil and evil good, such a deal for the enemies of God. When we speak out against this malevolent conspiracy. Be assured, you will be hated by all of the heathen because of my authority. There's the possibility that we'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed, just like the remarkable fulfillment in the first century with the martyrdom of most of the disciples and apostles. But this goes straight to the prophetic enmity of Genesis 3:15 between white Christian Israel and everybody else, us versus them. I like how Proverbs 29:27 puts it. An unjust person is disgusting to righteous people. And a decent person is disgusting to wicked people. What on earth is compelling Christians to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? They don't know who they are or what their responsibilities to God are. And they love everybody unconditionally, except us. Didn't the protocols have a game plan like that? Honest Abe Lincoln, who played fast and loose with the truth, said in effect that if America was ever to be destroyed, it would be from within. Historically, nations self-destruct from a moral and spiritual decay, from motivations limited to special interest. Evil is likened to spoilage or inducing something to rot. Nationally, evil breaks into pieces the cohesion of an indigenous racial group. Most people don't realize it, but Lincoln suspended the Constitution and declared martial law rule, which has never been revoked. So it's really a moot point to debate whether a Christian law system exists in our nation anymore. We should pursue the truth as to when America stopped being a Christian nation with scholarship, because that will help us identify when we stop being a white nation, an Israelite nation. We are no longer a white Christian nation, but rather a third world multicultural country. The Great Depression and World War II rolled out the red carpet for creeping socialism, the Browning of America, and a secret alliance with the communist Soviet Union in Russia. The Rockefellers, who are crypto-Jews, set up dozens of foundations to avoid paying taxes and to further undermine the white race and Christianity in America by funneling their agents into key positions within our government. Amen. It was only a matter of time before the Supreme Court decided that even if someone advocated the forced overthrow of the government, which is treason, it was protected speech. And yet today, speaking the truth about their treachery is considered hate speech. Social engineers were not required to tell the truth about their hidden agendas or consequences of legal misrepresentations, or even, as Frederick Bastiat said in his book, The Law, legalized plunder. U.S. News and World Report reported way back in June of 1957, June 28th to be specific, quote, the rights of the individual are now ruled as superseding those of the government itself and of all other citizens who may be imperiled. The rights of the individual, moreover, are now held to be more sacred then the right of the people, through their government, to be made secure against foreign enemies whose agents operate inside our borders, end quote. That was over 50 years ago. The guy that yells fire in a crowded theater has more rights than an audience that would be trampled to death in a panic to exit. You see, we have the same guy yelling terrorist today, spilling the blood of American soldiers in foreign theaters of war. Our God-given rights to oppose godless wars have been trampled underfoot by Antichrist. We can tell the truth about their lies from the tentacles of the octopus, but for most people, it's just so overwhelming that it doesn't matter, even though it's a matter of life and death. Since that time in the 1950s, when our enemy was working to eliminate America as a white nation, planting the seeds of integration, our people have been inundated with the propaganda that all men are created equal. Furthermore, the Baal priest, in thousands of denominations, put forward the absurd notion that all races come from Adam, the brotherhood of man, the human race, the Rainbow Coalition, the Masonic Catholic creed of universalism, ad nauseum. And then the government, with the blessings of the church, had the audacity to implement desegregation at the end of a bayonet. The universities were dependent on grants from the foundations, and the foundations were tax-exempt, tax shelters for the super-rich elite one-worlders. And they got away with treason by way of lies and deception. But they won't escape the divine court of justice. The truth about their lies making the Bible say all races are the same is extrapolated from the Jew Masoretic tainted passage found in Acts 17:26. Quote, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth." The word blood was added by the Jewish translators, and the word one should have been capitalized, denoting God. Thus, the verse should read, "God hath made all nations of Adam man to dwell upon the face of the earth." Adam means man, and man means Adam, and only one race can fit that description of showing blood in the face, the white race. Quite a different rendition, and racist too, but it's the truth. It's a standard lie that Judeo-Christians constantly use to spoil the Word of God. Here's a perfect example of a type of email I get all the time. "You have a lot of nerve calling yourself a pastor. You are nothing but an ignorant, uneducated bigot and a propagandist. God will not look upon you kindly. You are going to hell. Good luck." My question to this gentleman would be, what is the biblical truth for wishing someone good luck in the barbecue pits of hell? The word luck isn't even found in the Bible. Well, we have lost our God-given inalienable rights because Scripture has been changed to mean something else. And even though it can be proven that Scripture has been adulterated, it doesn't matter to the brainwashed masses. But scriptural truth is supposed to make us free. Well, it depends. The context of the 8th chapter of John is the debate Christ was having with the Pharisees, and an understanding of the truth was pivotal as to whether or not someone is of God. Jesus spoke strong words, saying, "I tell you the truth, and you believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Isn't that the same thing as saying today that Jews are not God's chosen people? It's the same thing. The Jews sought to kill the Lord of truth then, and they continue to kill his disciples of truth today by keeping us in bondage of lies as far away from the Holy Spirit as possible. In fact, the eternal war between racial purity and mongrelization is one of genocide. The plan for globalization includes the homogenization of all races, so that God's creation of kind after kind is virtually exterminated. That's why Barry Sotero was the ideal pick for his handler, George Soros. It may sound good to race traitors who spoil their family tree and commit treason against the truth of God, but it is a delusion that will lead to the destruction of the white race. Again, we are dealing with people to whom the truth, which affects all truth, doesn't matter. They have gone mad. They've lost their minds. They certainly don't have the mind of Christ. And it's all because they have willingly lost their love of the truth, and therefore can only love its counterpart, lies. Listen to this. "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, we may not have all the truths the Bible offers, and we struggle in our differences to know them because we would love to know. But we keep our sanity by never taking delight in those things that are opposite to God's word, especially if it's being passed off as God's word. When it comes to doctrinal differences within our movement, I'm not going to violate Scripture, which advocates the bonds of racial fellowship and Christian deportment over the emotional calls of the natural man who judges another man's Christian walk with Christ. And in some rare cases, there are some who are under God's curse of strong delusions to call for another man's death because of doctrine. This is disturbing. I've gotten these kind of threats from four different individuals over the years, and it's just nuts. But I'm not deterred in the least to contend for my faith. Amen. And to tell the truth as the Spirit leads. intentionally not telling the truth is one of the gravest offenses one can make that will keep someone out of the kingdom of God. At the end of the book of Revelation, it's called the city of God, where the obedient have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. But it says without or outside the gates of the city or the kingdom of God are dogs, meaning mongrels, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever maketh and loveth a lie. The last admonition of the New Testament is related to two forms of lying. If any man shall add unto these things of the word of the prophecy of this book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. This is not exclusive to the book of Revelation, for John was confirming the same admonitions of the Old Testament. Prophecy is also a general term for teachings, not just predicting the future. I pray that God increases our love for his truth and our love for each other. We truly are a remnant of the Lord that has come to an understanding of who we are and who Israel is not. May our Lord and Savior bless our discipleship and dedication to the truth, and open our eyes that we have more things in common than the difficult subjects that divide us and close our minds unnecessarily. Lord, I pray that the truth about lies, which we readily agree upon, reconciles us to a wealth of further truths, whereby we grow and mature in what the living Christ reveals to us in our daily lives. And may the way which we live each day be a reflection of your grace and glory. Your truth is the way to freedom. I have a bit more research on this subject to share with my brethren, and Lord willing, the sequel to this message will be forthcoming the next time I have the privilege to speak. May God richly bless you in your discernments to find that which is good and right and true and freely given to us.